It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to the Music's Journey podcast, brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With her special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
Hot off the celebration of her second Canadian number one single, Want Me Back, Calgary's Lindsay L has earned her first Juno Awards nomination. Here to talk about earning that coveted spot in Country Album of the Year category, here is Canadian superstar Lindsay L.
Yay!
We are so happy. That's that delay.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are
you? Pleasure to talk to all of you.
How are you?
Guys, I am so good. It's just been like, you know, this past year, I'm really looking back on this as a gift. I feel like I have learned so much. And, you know, from moving at the pace that I normally move at, I mean, in 2019, we played 235 shows. I was on the road 280 days.
Wow.
And to go from that pace to then being quarantined in a house by myself in the middle of four walls, it was just like a very abrupt shift, as it has been for everybody. I mean, I know I'm completely hashtag first world problems at the same time, and also realize and recognize all the frontline workers and people who have lost loved ones, and I'm like, my problems are nothing compared to that. But I'm looking back on this year, and I'm just like, man, I have learned so much. Like, I've learned so much from just really getting a good priorities check, you know, on what's important, and also getting to release an album in the middle of a pandemic and launch my own foundation and really celebrate some cool things amidst all of the craziness. How has your past year been?
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm looking after my mom right now. And so we're going through that stage ourselves. And I know that so many people have gone through this stuff. So we've had to do all of the podcasts, you know, we've had to build a studio here. So, you know, things have changed for us along the way too, for both John and myself. And so we kind of know what you're going through on that.
When I get knocked down, I sing to myself, I get locked down, but I get up again. So that keeps me going.
That is the best theme song ever. I love that theme song.
I get locked down.
Now, with this, I have to be able to say this to you, because this album means so much to me. I know how much it means to you, but it means so much to the fans out there and to me as well, because you've spoken up for so many of us with this album and what you went through, this personal journey, to put that into the seven stages that you have. Such a brilliant idea, but I can imagine how hard it was. But at the same time, it's been so uplifting.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for saying that. You know, music is an incredible thing, and music is an incredible force to be able to be like this universal language to connect us all together. And I'm just so grateful for all of you for wanting to listen to it and accept it and receive it. And, you know, through writing Heart Theory, I think I was able to knock down a bunch of walls within myself, you know, and able to really just be the next level vulnerable in my music and as a writer, and to the fans, and to just let everybody know, hey, this is me, and this is what I've been through, and this is part of my story, and part of my story that I've never shared before until this point. And it has been so incredible to read the thousands of DMs I've gotten, you know, especially after releasing a song like Make You, and even just the process of this whole record, and getting messages back being like, thank you for writing this album. It's really helped me through this time in my life. And that is the kind of thing that is my favorite message to read. And it means so much to even hear you confirm that, Kim, like, thank you. This is why I wake up every morning and do what I do. I just love it so much. And the fact that it can actually have a really good influence is all the more special.
I think when I, you know, was reading, you know, so much of your story, and when you started the foundation, and when you were speaking, you know, to young girls, when you went into that young girls group and shared your story, you know, for the first time, and to hear that response and how quickly they reach back. And I went through this as a Canadian safety specialist, you know, for 10 years. I taught this in the schools. And I went through this personally myself, and that was what my journey was. And that's why I got into working with victim services. And so it is very dear to my heart. And when I taught in the schools, the moment I opened up and said it was okay, you do need to be able to look to the people, whether it's in your school or whether, you know, it's at a church or, you know, somebody that you trust. But it's such an important thing to be able to deliver that kind of confidence to say it's okay, no matter what, it's okay to tell your story. And
okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, sometimes, Kim, half the battle is knowing that you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And even just knowing that you have that vote of confidence that, okay, other people have gone through this and have navigated their way through it. And if I'm not sure the next step to take, or even I'm scared to tell anyone, it's like having that extra vote of confidence of, okay, I actually can do this. I really can do this.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to see just that transformation, that light come back into somebody's eyes. And I think that's what moved me the most, because I would be speaking on City TV and, you know, I'd be just be on air all the time or on TV talking about it and, you know, teaching the programs and working through it. And it just, you know, for anybody to shut it down and shut that communication down inside of yourself and to say, you know what, that self-love is so critical at a very young age. And, you know, opening up now, and especially with people that have gone through so much, especially during COVID, and, you know, just the abuse rates, things like that, that are going on. So many people are afraid to speak out because they're ashamed, or, you know, people that are in their close circle are so busy dealing with what's going on in their own lives, they don't take that time to realize the pain that's going on right in front of them when somebody does reach out. And you listened that day. And look what's happened with that. And I couldn't be so proud of you.
Well, thank you so much for saying that. That means a lot. That truly, truly means a lot. And, you know, after writing songs like this and making music like this, the thing I just want to know is that it has an impact. And so hearing you say that means all, it just makes all the difference, you know?
Well, doing it the way that you did this too, the way that you set this out in stages and the way that you have released this album, talk about that.
Basically, I was about halfway through the record before I actually realized what I was doing. I was just waking up and writing songs to how I was feeling for that exact day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was about halfway through the process and I was like, guys, I'm writing an album that is like my musical diary right now. And I'm writing it in the order of process that I'm going through. And I think that as human beings on this planet, we all go through moments of transformation in our lives. And whether that's from a breakup, losing a job, losing a loved one, whatever reason, going through a global pandemic, we all go through these moments of where we're forced to have to go through a laundry list or a rainbow of emotions. So I was like, how cool would it be to write a concept album that goes through every emotion and features every emotion, from the shock to the denial to the anger. And one way of articulating that process is called the 7 stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan of all things Brené Brown and all authors like that. And so I've heard of the 7 stages of grief, you know, be one way of like articulating this whole process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote a record that basically was taking you by the hand and walking you through it. And whether you want to walk through it to hear my journey or whether you relate to it for anything that you may be going through, I mean, pain and trauma and difficult times are difficult times. And for whatever reason we're experiencing them, you just need to be very generous towards yourself and offer yourself grace and patience. And know that it's just part of the process. And so I hope that this music can inspire people to know that they're not alone and know that we're all just navigating through this process in different ways.
Yeah.
And so, the record, I mean, goes from top to bottom in order, from a place of shock, going through all the motions, ending up in a place of acceptance, being able to look at yourself in the mirror, accept yourself for everything that you've been through, and know that it's made you into who you are.
Absolutely, because you start this, like it's a 12-track album if a lot of people haven't heard it yet. I'm sure they have. But this album goes through 11 songs that you co-wrote and produced with Dan Huff. And you started out with Hit Me, And that's kind of the beginning stages, right? That's the state of shock, and that's the denial, you know, some of the depression that people go through, the anger, you know, as you talk about going through that end of it. And then you come out to the next stage, which lingers a little bit longer for a lot of people. And they kind of flip-flop back and forth. They go, you know, from one spot to the next. But the hardest part to get over, and you dedicated 3 songs to that. Talk about those first few songs.
I remember the day we wrote Hit Me. I wrote it with a really talented writer in Nashville, Corey Crowder, as well as Tyler Hubbard from SGL. And I remember waking up and just being like, guys, I am the ultimate optimist. Like, I am the person who looks at a terrible situation and is like, yeah, but we're going to be stronger after this, guys. Mm-hmm. Or, but at least we're fill in the blank. Like, I just always look at a situation and somehow pull something good from it. And so Hit Me was written from the point of, like, I'm generally a really happy person until, like, that moment or that memory or a name or an object that makes you think of somebody triggers something.
That's right.
And so I truly live in the sentiment that Hit Me sets up. Like, I'm happy until it hits me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go through life and be so positive until I get to the point where I'm just like, man, okay, yeah, I am navigating through this. And so Hit Me is sort of like at that beginning moment where you kind of get the realization of, okay, I'm going through this. Then you have a song like How Good, which moving right along through this 7 stages of grief is in a stage of denial. Mm-hmm. How Good and I Don't Love You, the song that comes after How Good on the record, are both in the stage of denial. Like, How Good is such a fun song. I also wanted this album to be, you know, so up and make you want to dance.
It does.
Thank you so much. I love music that is like up and fun to listen to, but is also talking about something real and, mm-hmm. and sometimes even sad. Like, the juxtaposition of that is so intriguing to my artist crazy brain. And so, yeah, the song How Good, it's like, do you know how good I could love you? And you're kind of still living in that past memory or that past moment or that past thing and being like, okay, yeah, yeah, I know we're going through this, but do you know how amazing, like, I really can show up, and you're, like, kind of in denial that it's over,
yeah.
As well as I Don't Love You is totally in denial. My favorite part of the song I Don't Love You is, like, the last part of the bridge is I try to convince myself
mm-hmm.
that I don't love you anymore,
mm-hmm.
when you really still do. Like, you're still getting over something and you're still moving through all those feelings. And so, yeah, the first 3 songs of Heart Theory are all about, like, the shock, the awareness, just realizing what you're going through, and then moving through that stage of denial of, like, okay, I'm fine, actually, and trying to let go of everything that you just navigated through.
Well, because you got to get rid of the toxic, but sometimes we hold on because it's something that's going on inside of us. It's got nothing to do with the other person. We know that it's not good for us, but
yep.
because we're built the way we are, you and I are cut from the same cloth. There is no doubt about it.
I love it.
My husband will tell you that, John here, he will tell you, I am the optimist. Doesn't matter how bad that situation is, I will find the silver lining in the end of that day by 12 midnight. And that's my goal. And I do it regardless.
Thank you.
It doesn't matter what's going on. I will find it. It drives him crazy.
That is so awesome.
We go to bed at night. She's still looking for the silver lining. The covers are everywhere.
Isn't that the best?
I know.
That is like the best.
It's our creative hearts. It's
yes. Amen, sister.
Yes, I'm telling you. You need to write a book, a girl's book, a teen's book on this called Heart Theory. I'm telling you.
Like, talking about the process?
Doing the same thing that you've done out in the stages, just as you just described to me. I'm telling you, it would do so good in schools. And it wouldn't matter whether or not it's girls or guys or whether or not it's somebody that's an adult. It doesn't matter. Like,
yeah.
This fits everybody's lifestyle. Just do a short story book. Call it Heart Theory. And I'm telling you, it will work. It will help so many people.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea. I mean, I have been like brainstorming. I mean, of course, all of this, like, COVID time being at home, I have been brainstorming. Okay, if I were to write a book, what kind of book would I want to write? And should I write a children's book of, like, really just being open and honest with your feelings? Or, yeah, I love that idea. I think that writing a book to, you know, young girls and young boys could be super powerful. Can look at you with the idea.
Look at you. I even got a better one. Okay, it's called Pocket Series. So little pocketbooks that people could carry with them, because so many people can't talk because it's not safe, right?
Yeah.
If they had a little pocketbook that they could hide in a purse, come on, you could do the stages. Come on. We could do it. We can do it together.
You were hilarious. That's amazing. Girl, you could be a marketing consultant. I love it.
Oh, I hope
you're
you do
brilliant.
It. I hope so you do awesome. It. Now, let's talk about your brand new single that you just released to radio March 10th. Oh, my God. This is such a great song, Good On You. Talk to us about that.
Thank you. Okay, so Good On You, I wrote Good On You the morning after I woke up and I saw that my ex had moved on to a new relationship. And it's sort of like that moment where you're so happy for that person, you know, you're so happy for your ex because you cared about them. They were, mm-hmm. they were a part of your life and you're like, man, that's so awesome. And I want you to be happy and I want the best things for you. And at the same time, you're like, not at that same spot, you know, like I haven't found somebody else and I haven't got my ducks in a row. And so it's like this bittersweet thing and you're like so happy and you also hate that you're so happy. And so I just wanted to write a song that was like, I hate how happy looks so good on you. Because I woke up that morning and I saw this story of him like laughing. And I was like, man, he is so happy. Like he's so happy. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing. And I only wish the best for him and he deserves to be happy. And it's just like that moment where it's like, okay, yeah, that's real.
You know what? It's just got such a cool vibe to the song. And I can tell you've been on the stage with Keith Urban. He is my absolute favorite. And you could feel that kind of cool groove that he does, you know, and it's just like the way that you put this song together. Oh, wow.
Thank you. I love getting all music nerd in my songs. I know sometimes that's not the most radio straight ahead thing to do, but I love like putting lots of chord changes and things and just making it sound like make the music sound how it feels. And we really got to do that on Good On You, and I'm just so grateful that it is our single right now. I hope that people can connect to the song and also be like, yeah, I've been there. I know what that feels like.
See, now the girls are all going to be getting in their cars and they got the, you know, the girls dates, you know, it's that weather now and rolling down the windows and just grooving to this song. It's just, you just want to get up and move to it. It is so cool.
I love that. Thank you so much. I hope I'll hold you to that. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
We're manifesting that one. And trust me, we're going to get people that are going to start taking pictures and sending that to you and just doing a clip of videos where we're just putting that all together in just one montage for you.
We will manifest that right now, right here on this episode. I love this. You're like my new BFF.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Trust me. I feel kindred spirit here. Big time.
Me too.
Well, let's play this one so everybody can feel exactly what we're feeling right now, and that's Good On You by my very special guest, country star Lindsay L, here on Music's Journey.
I thought that breaking up would be easier to do. The way we said goodbye was like nobody could lose, yeah. T-shirt looks good on you. Yeah, your big smile looks good on you. You got your wheels back on the track. Yeah, your needles found that groove. You got a new girl, looks good on you. She rocking your world, we're good on you. I told you to be happy, but I hate how happy looks so good on you. I'm jealous, but it's not because of her. No, it's more the way you went and got over me first. You went and got yourself a dog, went and bought a fancy car. But it ain't those things that makes it so damn hard. That white t-shirt looks good on you. Yeah, your big smile looks good on you. You got your wheels back on the track. Yeah, your needles found that groove. You got a new girl, looks good on you. She rocking your world. Your wheels back on the track. Yeah, your needles found that groove. You got a new girl, looks good on you. She rocking your world.
Good on you. Lindsay L. It's her latest from Canadian country superstar, guitarist, and tea enthusiast. Lindsay, from a couple of tea enthusiasts to another, what is your favorite flavor of tea?
Oh my gosh. If I were to pick my favorite flavor, I love tea, guys. I am such a tea enthusiast as well. Probably peppermint.
Peppermint. Mm,
so good for you.
What's yours, Kim?
Bellini.
Peach Bellini,
oh,
yes.
Oh, Peach Bellini. Peach That's Bellini. What it's called, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Great
Love that.
One.
My favorite flavor is tequila.
Tequila. I love it.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
Now let's get back to the Music's Journey podcast with her special guest. Once again, here's Kim Sear.
You got to talk to me about the guitar playing in this whole entire album. How did you put this together? Was it more than one person or just you?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote the songs with like a handful of my favorite songwriters from town. But when we really got to putting a record together, I was able to work with Mr. Dan Hoff, who's been my favorite producer in Nashville ever since I moved to town. And like, I even put his face on a vision board when I first moved to town and was like, as we talked about manifesting, I will one day work with Dan Hoff and we will do a record together. And I mean, fast forward years later and I'm in the studio sitting across from him being like, Dan Hoff is the coolest guy. Not only, you know, has he played guitar on Michael Jackson records and Madonna records and was like the hottest session guitar player in the world at one point, but also has produced everything from Keith Urban to Kane Brown to Lady Antebellum to Russell Dickerson. I mean, he just does everything. And when he produces, he is so good at like making each record sound like that artist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just so excited to be able to work with him and bring him this body of work and songs that I'd written. And, you know, I had a lot of ideas, obviously, and like the order all planned out, but to just get his brilliance on it and have him help bring these songs to life in a whole new way. Guys, it was an experience I will never forget for the rest of my life. And I will remember my first guitar session going in to cut guitars on my record. I was sitting in my car shaking because I was like, this dude is like played guitar for Michael Jackson, Madonna, and I'm supposed to walk in the studio right now and pretend like I know how to play guitar in front of him. What is happening? And he was the most down to earth, like, coolest dude, and made me feel so empowered and uplifted that by the time I walked out of that studio that night, I was like,
we're going to make the best record ever. I'm going to play the best guitar solos I ever played in my life. And he just has, like, this Midas touch. Like, he truly is just a guy with a heart of gold and makes magic happen in the studio. It's amazing.
Oh, God. You know, he's just an extraordinary human being. And he's done so much for so many people, but I know that that was on your dream board, you know, for a long time. And hitting Nashville to be able to walk into the studio, I can't even imagine what you were feeling that day.
Yeah, it was totally so many pinching moments in the studio. I'm like, is this actually happening? Is this real life? This is crazy.
Now, Keith Urban, you played for his graffiti tour. You guys had to have had a couple moments on stage where the two of you just let loose on that guitar.
Yeah, so Keith actually had me sing a song with him on Graffiti U. It's a song called Horses, mm-hmm. and I will never forget the day I pick up my phone starts ringing, and I pick it up, and he's like, "Hi, Lindsay, Keith Urban here." I do a horrible Australian accent, but he asked if I would be a part of Horses on his album, which was so cool, and then fast forward, we are on the Graffiti U tour, traveling right across the country, and he asked me to sing Horses with him every night, which was his encore that tour. And so I got to come out with his band every night and play the song that we sung and played together on his album and play it live as the encore. So, like, the epitome of, like, excitement at shows. Some nights we had confetti. I always was, like, in their last bow every night, and we would be, like, throwing drumsticks and guitar picks out to the crowd. And, like, Keith's band are, like, they took me in as family. They're just the coolest group of dudes. And, you know, that obviously comes from the top down. And so, yeah, he is the greatest. He is, like, the greatest husband, dad, band leader, songwriter. I'm just, like, all – he's such a pro dude as well, and just really, really kind. And it's hard to find somebody who is, like, as successful who he is, who still maintains not only, like, the way he acts, but a whole crew in camp who acts like that. And mm-hmm. so nothing but kudos to you, Keith Urban. You're the best of the best.
Oh, he's a very special human being. I know we don't have a lot of time, but we got to tell this story really quickly.
Keith was kind enough to allow me to surprise Kim on her wedding day. Keith is her ultimate singer, songwriter, player, you know, and he actually did a video for us that I was able to surprise Kim with on our wedding day to introduce our wedding song, Making Memories of Us. And he was so kind to do that. He did it on his bus, and I was able to play the video just before our first dance, and it blew her away. And I was so thankful he was able to do that for us.
That is so special. Oh, my gosh. See, what kind of artist goes above and beyond to make things like that
exactly. happen?
Yeah. And that was my song that I had with my dad. So it was that before he died. So that was the song that was everything to me.
Oh, and my God. Yeah,
so it was pretty amazing. So I got to congratulate you, girl. Oh, my God. Congratulations, Juno nominee. Holy cow. Woo!
Yay!
That's coming May. We're going to be watching. Oh, my God. I'm going to be so excited for you. So excited for you.
I am just so grateful. Thank you for saying that. It still feels surreal. I mean, I'm even at a loss of words talking about it because I have watched the Juno Awards ever since I was a little girl. And to be nominated for my very, very first time just feels completely surreal and incredible in the same light. And I'm touched. I'm honored to be a part of it. And I'm so excited. And also, guys, it feels amazing because I've just put so much blood, sweat, and tears into this album, and to see it be recognized and to see it given a nod by, you know, something as prestigious as the Junos, it makes all the work we put into music worth it. And, you know, sometimes as an artist, we're just like, does this even mean anything to anybody? Like, does this even matter when I've, you know, spent 3 years putting this album together? And so the fact that it's Juno nominated, it's incredible.
Oh, well, you know what? We cannot wait. And thank you. I really hope that we can have you back and we can talk a little bit more and we can see if that manifestation starts working on those little pocketbooks. So we are going to be rooting for you, girl. I am telling you. So thank you so much. I know we're out of time, but I just wanted to hope that you will come back and share with us right after the Junos. How's that?
You just let me know. I will be here whenever. And thank you guys for being fans. And hopefully one day we can all sit down and enjoy some tea together.
Oh, you and I are going to play guitar.
Done.
Tea and tequila.
So everybody can also see you on your guitar lessons. You got your guitar lessons too, but we'll talk about that after because I know that we're getting beeped out of here. So we love you. And thank you so much for representing Canadian women. My God, you're killing it. And you know what? You are such an inspiration to us all.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Kim, I appreciate you guys so much. And yes, let's talk soon, please.
Okay. Right. You take care and good luck.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye. Congratulations, Lindsay, for your Juno nominations for Heart Theory. I am so, so happy to see this album come to light and have it accepted worldwide. You are making strides right across the border. You are a trailblazer, and we cannot be more proud to have a Canadian woman up there doing the things that you are. And God, one hell of a guitar player. So true inspiration. Thank you so much for stopping by Music's Journey and talking to us. And we can't wait to see how everything goes for you on May 16th for the Juno Awards on CBC. So we're all looking forward to some great Canadian artists that are up there. And wow, what a field there is this year. Heart Theory is the best work she has ever done. You can download it, you can stream it, and you can share it. And it makes all the difference in the world when it comes to streaming and the awards that are handed out to these artists. And man, does she deserve it. Lindsay L., fabulous. Thank you once again for coming on to the show, and we look forward to having you. Thank you to everyone, all of our listeners who have been tuning in this week. We have got a pretty special week for you. We've got some great podcasts that are coming up with the founding member, Andrew Ferris of the rock legends INXS is going to be here. We also have the incredible Brett Kessel that's going to be coming on. We've got Jordan Hart. Jason Benoit is going to be here. The Heels are back. We will be having Owen Barney, Sean Carson, Diane Chase. Man, a name from, you know, quite a while ago. She is going to be back with a brand new song that she's got out. We have pop artist Maya Zita is going to be here, Madison Oles, and so many more. We're really excited for you guys to tune in, and we thank you so much for listening and taking part and letting us into your home and bringing us into your cars or wherever you're playing music. Music's Journey is here for you. We're bringing you behind the scenes with the lyrics, the music, and the artists. So thank you. I am Kim Sear, and we will see you very soon.
Once again, a great big thank you to Lindsay L. for chatting with us today, and good luck at the Junos, Lindsay. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com. You can listen to all our podcasts on Amazon Music, Google Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn, Alexa, Podcast Addicts, Deezer, Player FM, Podchaser, Pocket Cast, and more. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of your host, Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.